Blog Talk Radio.
Invicta FC fighter Ashley Cummins, MMA veteran from Strikeforce and WWE, TNA, former professional wrestler Bobby Lashley, and XFC Stephen Bass, also a UFC veteran, all on the Roman Show this evening. Make sure you interact with us on our Twitter account. That's at the Roman Show. At the Roman Show. And like our fan page at Roman Show Media. That's Roman Show Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of the Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now Mikey Ruckus, rain down hellfire and brimstone.
I consider the beat, I consider the pound. He considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it, cause we all go through it. It's the start of the Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, we pop shots as you licking your chops. Go straight to the top, the moment that the solar will drop.
Yeah,
got it a lock and tied in the knot. We got the industry crossover, like it or not.
Keep rocking.
You haven't been all, you haven't been heard. From Miami, yes, to Detroit, 3 1/3. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we going to curve. With a red carpet, news break, shocking the world. Come on, rise, come and join the Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
What's up, everyone? It's July 10th, the Roman Show, talking some mixed martial arts this evening on this evening now. Thankfully for us, we escaped a storm, Guillermo, here in South Florida. Chantel is no more. We're going to be getting some rain. That's a good thing. But what's up, Guillermo? How's it going on the other end?
No, good, man. Very excited from what happened this past weekend, but, you know, lots of opinions about that as well.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we're going to get straight down to the nitty-gritty of it before we bring in Invicta FC fighter Ashley Cummins. Anderson Silva, as we know, got knocked out by Chris Weidman. Silva is no longer the UFC middleweight champion. Many were shocked. Some say it's a conspiracy. Some say that he earned it. It turns out now the news that's fresh is that Anderson Silva is willing to take this rematch despite the fact that he said in the post-fight interview that he didn't want a rematch. Now he is apparently, and this is what I don't understand, but many of those MMA media outlets are saying sources. We don't know what sources they are pertaining to, but according to the MMA junkies, the PJPens.com, they're all stating that Anderson Silva has changed his mind about fighting Chris Weidman in a rematch, and he wants it to happen as soon as possible. Apparently, from these sources, it says that a little over 24 hours after the loss, Silva was jokingly wishing the rematch could happen this week. That's how badly he wants to avenge his loss to Weidman. This is according to MMAfighting.com. Now, BJPenn.com is reporting that he wants to have the fight during the Super Bowl pay-per-view, which will be taking place in February 2014. The president of the UFC says he wants the fight to happen in December. So really up in the air. We haven't really heard directly as far as when exactly and if this is going to happen. But that is the situation happening with Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva. Guillermo, would you like to see this fight this year or be a little patient and wait for it till February?
From what I heard, the UFC, instead of having a pay-per-view over the Super Bowl, they're doing a box show. So, I mean, that's probably not even a good idea to put that fight on a box show. So, you know, it'd have to be like some other time in January or February. Because from what I've heard, the UFC is doing a Fox show on the Super Bowl because Fox this coming year has the Super Bowl. So that's what I've heard.
It could lead in, you know, that Saturday right before could lead into the Super Bowl, which would be Sunday. That'd be a great idea. But
that's the latest information. But, I mean, but again, like they'd be missing out on pay-per-view buys if they did that. So I don't think they're going to go that route.
And well, that's going to be some time till exactly they determine that. But that's the latest information on Chris Weidman, the champion, versus Anderson Silva, the rematch. A lot of talk, but Las Vegas has Silva the winner, Guillermo, despite the fact that he lost fair and square on Saturday. And you're a little upset at that, huh? They're underestimating this guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're underestimating him worse than they were the last time. You know, before they ever fought, they had him as a most places had him at 2-1 underdog. A lot of places putting him 2.5, 3-1 underdog, an even bigger underdog than he was before. And he got the win not even doing his strong suit, but doing what Anderson was strongest at. So you'd think that they'd think the opposite, maybe even make it, you know, 1.5-1 or even money. But no, that's not what they're doing at all. It's very surprising. I just feel it's very disrespectful to Chris Weidman. And, you know, besides the fact, like all these fans saying that, oh, Anderson lost on purpose, the fight was fixed, or what have you, or it was a lucky punch, I just don't appreciate that. I mean, Chris Weidman won that fight fair and square. There was no fixing. Anderson got careless and he got knocked out. And all these people, the problem is, all these Anderson Silva fanboys out there, people obsessed with Anderson Silva, just can never imagine in any universe that he would ever lose. And if he lost, they thought, well, it wasn't Anderson that lost. There had to be something going on. And people forget that he's human. He's just like anybody else. And when you're in there with the number two guy in the world and you're fooling around, you're going to get knocked out eventually. That's exactly what happened.
And that's exactly what happened this Saturday as Anderson Silva got knocked out and lost his title against Chris Weidman. And Chris Weidman, man, he partied his life away, as he even partied with some of the Miami Heat players in Las Vegas. And then when he got home, his family were outside waiting for him as late as to 2:00 in the morning. They didn't know exactly when he was going to get home, but they were outside waiting for him and celebrating the victory of Chris Weidman. You know, you going back to what you said, that some folks didn't really expect Silva to lose this fashion. I want to go back to Fedor Emelianenko when he lost, when he had a long winning streak and he lost. And, you know, it does prove that we're all human and anyone can lose. And now we're gearing up also closely to John Jones defending his title against Gustafsson. And Gustafsson has also come out and said exactly what you just said. You know, we're human. So, and I think there's something pretty cool about this sport. You know, there isn't just one guy that is unstoppable. Anyone can have a bad day. Anyone. And it happened to Anderson Silva. It did happen to him. And it is what it is. We're just going to have to see if indeed this rematch happens and if it goes a different route. It's just a matter of time. But I do think, though, Guillermo, that Anderson Silva has learned his lesson. I do think that he's not going to be playing around and dancing and prancing. I think we'll see a different Anderson Silva, a more serious guy, if this rematch were to happen.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are saying that Anderson's going to win this next fight for sure because of what we saw in the first fight, which was we only saw Chris Weidman get one takedown. And when he had that one takedown, he did get some good ground and pound in, and he went for a couple of submissions. And some people are saying that Chris Weidman looked tired going into the second round. And they're saying that because Chris Weidman could not get him down more often, that's the reason when Anderson's serious that he's going to win. But then a lot of people didn't listen to the interview that Chris Weidman gave afterward. He said he was faking takedowns, not really going for them, not trying to finish the takedowns, but faking takedowns so that Anderson would have to worry more about the takedown and not defend the kicks that were coming. So, you know, it's both ways, the chess game. And next time around, like I told people, since Anderson was goofing off more than striking, there was less opportunities to go for a takedown. Usually you go for a takedown when the guy swings at you, you duck under and you go for the takedown. But if the guy's not swinging, if he's just clowning around, you can't counter those strikes with a takedown. Now, if Anderson comes out serious next fight and swings a lot more, there's going to be way more openings for a takedown for Weidman. And I believe that he's going to have way better cardio. He had been coming off a one-year layoff this last time. He's going to have way better cardio this next time. I think we're going to see more takedowns from Chris Weidman, and his submissions are going to be a lot more crisp. He almost had Anderson in an e-bar and a heel hook, and Anderson has tapped out to the heel hook before against Rio Chonan. So, I think Weidman's going to win the next one. I told you, I put a bet down on Weidman this past weekend. I won. I'm going to put money down again on Weidman the next time.
You're confident, man. You're confident that Chris Weidman is the real deal. You really are.
Hey, a lot of people, everybody told me I was going to be wrong. You were mocking me during the pay-per-view, and I was right. You know, and, I think I'm right this next time, too, but we'll see.
Well, exactly. We'll have to see and wait.
Nobody thought Frank Edgar was going to be BJ Penn two straight times either. You know, but he did. So anything's possible.
Anything is possible in this sport. Guys, I want to make sure I invite you guys to our social media page, facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. We always give out free stuff. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. Also, want to let you guys know, if you're hot, you want something to drink, get yourself some Vita Coco. It's going to hydrate you, and at the same time, it's going to give you some great nutrition. You can't go wrong with that. That's Vita Coco. Pick it up at your nearest retail store. Also, it's been proven that if you show what your business is offering, it will give you more business. Head on over to simplyjvideo.com. They will film your business, and they'll put it out on the net. And trust me, they'll get you some business. They'll get you some traffic in there. Make sure you visit simplyjvideo.com. Videos, websites, and so much more. Simplyjvideo.com. Simply J Video is an Esk Pro company. We'll be right back, guys, with Ashley Cummins, who fights this Saturday at Invicta FC. That's going to be a great show as well. It's going to be on TV, also online. So this time around, there's no excuses, guys. You can see it. We'll be back.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
This is your boy Sugar Shot Evans, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
Show here on this Wednesday evening, enjoying ourselves and talking to mixed martial arts. We spoke about Anderson Silva, but now we're going to talk Invicta FC taking place this Saturday night. You got a green man event that they meet around. I'm talking about Kunin and Cyborg. They're going at it for the title, so that's going to be exciting. You can go to FC.com And the fight takes place this Saturday, July 13th. And if you're going to the place, Kent, Kansas, doors open at 5 p.m. I believe it starts at 6 p.m. the first fight. You can go to InvictaFC.com for information, or you can get your ticket at TicketFly.com. But in the meantime, Invicta FC has a phenomenal undercard, and one of the on that fight card is Ashley Cummins. Ashley, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, absolutely great. You're on with myself, Rodolfo Roman, and Guillermo Garcia. Ashley, coming into this fight, you're coming off a loss. Your last fight was in October, and you're also fighting Emily Kagan, who also had a loss. But it's been a couple of months since you last fought. Why the layoff?
My last fight, I had to get surgery after the fight. So it took a couple months to recover from surgery and just wanted to take some time and, you know, improve my game a little bit before I get back in the cage.
And what exactly did you have? What type of surgery? And how are you feeling now compared to obviously with the first time around? You feel stronger? You feel better as a fighter?
Well, the surgery I had, in the first 15 seconds of my last fight, I lost my vision. Very first punch my opponent landed, my vision immediately was, like, severely messed up. I found out after the fight when I went to the emergency room because I had 3 broken bones under my eye. So I got surgery and got a metal plate under my eye and recovered from it. I feel great, and I've been training my ass off at my new gym, Burger MMA, and I feel like my game has improved a lot, and I'm really excited to show my new skills in the cage this weekend.
Wow, so you have an injury in your eye, and they put a metal under your eye. Explain that to us. That's crazy to just hear that. What exactly is it? What exactly was the injury?
I suffered 3 broken bones under my right eye in, like, the first 15 seconds of the fight. So I was fighting with really screwed-up vision, and obviously I lost. And when I went to the emergency room later that night, that's when they confirmed I 3 broken bones under my right eye. And I waited a week to see if my vision would come back, and it never did. So the doctor recommended surgery. So I got the surgery and got the metal plate.
And how is the vision now? Is it back to normal?
Yeah. I mean, when I look up and down, it's, like, still blurry. But, I mean, you don't, like, look up and down throughout the day. So, like, it doesn't affect my everyday life. But looking straight ahead is good to go now.
Wow. So tell me about this training. And for the, you know, here you go. It's been a couple of months. You get back into the gym. When was the first time you got into the gym after the surgery?
I think 2 months later, I was back in the gym training.
Now, going into this fight, it was your first loss ever. You never lost in the amateur level. You never lost in the pro level. How did you take this loss? How did you grow as a fighter?
You know, at first I was pretty upset about the loss, you know, especially about the surgery. I mean, I almost lost my job over, you know, because I lost my vision. So obviously, you know, anyone that loses their vision is going to suffer whatever job they have. So I was just pretty stressed and nervous about that and sad about the fight. But, you know, I got over it and realized that it was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's what led me to my new gym that, Burgers MMA, that I'm in love with, and I've learned so much and become such a better fighter since training there, and I feel like it's made me a tougher person.
Now, going in, Emily also, she had her loss. She's coming up a loss. What can you tell us about your opponent against her?
Sorry, you broke up a little bit. Can you repeat that?
Oh, yeah, you're getting ready for Emily Kagan. How are you preparing for her come this Saturday evening?
You know, I train hard like I do every fight, but, you know, I don't change my training to accommodate who I'm fighting. I train the way I want to fight. I don't train the way I want to fight my opponent. So I worked on, you know, the things that I thought were my weaknesses, and I've gotten a lot better. And I know that I'm ready for the fight wherever it goes. Whether they're standing on the ground, I know I'm ready.
Now, she lost against Rose Namajunas, where Rose pulled out that flying armbar. That it's really a rarity in MMA. I mean, everybody was shocked with that thing. What were your thoughts with that submission? Did you get to see the tape on that fight?
Well, actually, Rose beat a different girl with that flying armbar.
I'm sorry.
She beat Emily with the rear naked choke.
Yeah, I got the wrong note there. But Kagan, have you seen some of the tapes on her? And what can you tell her as far as her strength?
I didn't really study her videos, to be honest, because I don't like doing that. That's my coach's job, to do that for me. But I think she fights a lot like me. I think we're both well-rounded fighters. We're both good standing and both good on the ground. We both have good wrestling. The only difference is she's southpaw. We're both aggressive, so I think it's going to be a great fight, especially since we're both coming off losses. So no one wants to lose two in a row, so it's definitely going to be a war.
Greg Guillermo?
Hey, Ashley, coming off such a terrible injury, like an eye injury, do you worry about that first couple punches that you're going to get hit with? Do you worry about losing your vision again?
No. I mean, I've been sparring a lot, and it hasn't bothered me at all. My doctor said that the chances of that happening again are rare, and the metal plate I have under my eye actually prevents the bones to break again. So my right eye, the bones under my right eye can't break anymore because of the metal plate, so it shouldn't happen again.
Now, you fought for quite a few different promotions throughout your amateur and your professional career. Tell us about the difference between Invicta and some of these organizations and the way they treat women.
I mean, Invicta is just amazing what they're doing for female MMA. I mean, they bring girls in from all over the world, and that's something that no other promotion is doing for females. I mean, they're bringing girls in from, Asia and Europe, and I mean, it's just amazing, and they treat us all very well, and I'm very blessed to be able to be a part of this awesome promotion.
Now, you're training out of St. Louis, or you're from St. Louis, and this fight's happening not that far away, just down the road there in Kansas City, a few hours' drive. So do you expect to have a lot of support there in the crowd with you?
Yeah, I have a bunch of friends coming. My dad's going to be there. A bunch of my teammates are going to be there. So, I mean, I'm really lucky also that the promotion is in the same state that I live in, so that way I can have a lot of my family and friends come out there and support me.
Now, throughout your career, just looking over your amateur and professional record, lots of submissions, lots of decisions, but no knockouts, no TKOs. Do you hunger for that? Do you want to get that, or do you really just care to win? You don't care how?
I mean, I want to, obviously I'm going to do what it takes to win. If I see a submission, I'm going to go for it. But, yeah, I mean, of course I'd like to have a TKO or KO, but, sometimes it's just not how the fight goes, so.
Well, Emily, I want to thank you so much for coming on here on the program. Anything else you'd like to add for your fans listening here tonight on the show?
No, I just want to thank everyone for supporting Women's MMA and tune in this Saturday to, go to the website Invicta FC and it'll explain all the different ways you can watch the fight.
Absolutely. Ashley, want to wish you good luck on this Saturday, and we'll be watching. I'm sure you girls will pull off a great, great, great fight there along with the rest of the fight card. Thanks so much, Ashley.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You
too. There you go, guys. Invicta FC 6 coming this weekend, this Saturday. Make sure you visit InvictaFC.com for more information as far as how to watch the pay-per-view. You can watch it online, and you could also watch it on TV. All the details are there. Invicta FC 6, you don't want to miss it. Every single fight on that fight card, I'm telling you, is going to be it's going to keep you on the edge of your seat. Trust you and me. Every fight that I see, and it's just something about it, Guillermo. Women just always come out to fight, man. I don't know what it is, but every single time, I've never seen a boring women's fight, Guillermo.
No, I agree. They have a lot to prove, not just to themselves, but to the world, that women deserve this platform and that they can be tough, just as tough as guys, because, they have to fight thousands of years of, stereotyping. So, yeah, they come out there ready to prove everybody wrong, that they do deserve that to be there, that they can be tough, and that they're just as aggressive as the guys.
No doubt about that. And, you got the main event. Marlos Kunin versus Chris Cyborg. That's the main event. This is part two. That's going to be a good fight. Marlos says that she could take on Cyborg despite the fact that she's looked up as this Terminator inside the cage. She says she learned from her first fight and she could bring it to her. Who do you have winning in that fight, Guillermo?
Well, I mean, I was there live for the first time that they fought. I believe, I'm pretty sure I was, because I've seen Cyborg fight a few times when Strike Force came down to Miami. And
that's right.
I just don't see how Marlos can do anything different than she did the last fight. The last fight, see, Marlos is a submission fighter, and so she gets a lot of her submissions off her back. But Cyborg just destroyed her in that position. Yeah, she went for some submissions, but Cyborg was smart enough to get out of them. And when she got out of them, she just smashed her. And it was just three rounds of ground and pound is essentially what happened. And I just don't think Marlos has the strength. Yeah, even if she had the wrestling, I don't think she has the strength to be able to take down Cyborg. She definitely doesn't have the striking to keep with Cyborg standing. On the ground, the only thing she can hope for is pulling out a submission. But, you know, Cyborg, basically, you know, she's trained jiu-jitsu as well. So unless she catches her with some sort of surprise submission or somehow, some way, she can get on top of Cyborg, which I don't know how that's going to happen. That's her best hope. But I just don't see how that's going to happen. I don't see how she can change anything or how she could have improved so much that, you know, she can catch up to Cyborg. It's going to have to take Cyborg making, like, a huge mistake in order for Marlos to have a chance here.
Yeah, and then you know, Chris Cyborg pretty much rules that. You know, there was always a discussion about Ronda Rousey, but is there anyone else out there? Of course, depending on the outcome of this fight, is there anyone else that you think that has a chance of defeating Cyborg aside from Ronda Rousey?
Well, I mean, as far as 145-pound women go, other than, you know, I mean, because Ronda's technically 135 now. As far as 145-pound women go, there's nobody I can think of that can keep up with Cyborg. I mean, anybody can get lucky, you know, a lucky punch or lucky submission, you know, if Cyborg makes a mistake. But as far as, like, just head-to-head looking at it on paper, I don't see anybody in the world at 145 pounds, as far as women go, that can do it. Now, if she was to fight Ronda's so exceptional with her takedowns as far as judo goes and wrestling and with her submissions, that Ronda could definitely beat her with a submission, no doubt. If it was a pure kickboxing battle, I don't like Ronda's chances against Cyborg. But because Ronda's so good at getting takedowns and judo throws and things like that, you know, she could definitely submit Cyborg if they were ever to fight. Because with judo, you use the person's own momentum and their own body weight against them. So all that muscle and power that Cyborg has with judo will be used against her. So actually that works towards Ronda's advantage as far as a ground game goes. So I believe Ronda could definitely beat her on the ground, but if it was a stand-up fight between the two of them, I'd have to give it to Cyborg.
No doubt about that. All right, let's going to go to a quick break, and we will come in with Bobby Lashley, who has been on a winning streak. He has back-to-back wins in the month of June, and the guy says he wants to fight four more times.
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks. Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/The Roman Show.
Guys, if you ever need printing for your business, business cards, you need to head out to Sergio's Printing at sergiosprinting.com. They have the best rates and the best quality. That's Sergio's Printing for any business flyers, business cards, anything that you need, even banners. In fact, they're the official sponsor of the Roman Show when it comes to banners. So Sergio's Printing, check them out. They're located in Miami, but they do business all over the United States. All right, guys, welcome to the Roman Show, Guillermo. It is a pleasure to have none other than Bobby Lashley here on the program once again. Welcome, Bobby Lashley, to the Roman Show. How are you this evening?
I'm good, man.
Awesome, Bobby. Bobby, you've been, you know, you took some time off from MMA. You come back in June. You have two fights back-to-back. You win in a nice style. You're hungry from what we're looking at. And why the layoff here from MMA, Bobby Lashley? You came back you're forced to be right again.
Well, I took a little time off before because just my family situation kind of changed a little bit. I'm actually more of a full-time dad right now. I have my kids. I have three kids of my own. And now I have them full-time. So at first it was kind of a struggle trying to get my schedule together, but I really couldn't because my kids are so small. So I had to just kind of concentrate on just, you know, working skills as opposed to actually training for fights. So, I mean, I still got out there, worked for my boxing coach when I could, did some jiu-jitsu work, but I really wasn't training for any fights because I had my kids all the time, and it was kind of hard to juggle my schedule. But I kind of got things together, and I just figured, you know, I'm not getting any younger. If I want to do something, I had to do it now. So I got to stay active.
And no doubt you did, man. Two fights in June. And now the latest information I have from you is that you want to fight four more times before the end of the year. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's like we play off the Phillies. After I said that, after my last fight, I told them I wanted to stay active. I had a lot of organizations call me and offer some stuff. I mean, I have a potential fight in August. I think I have a definite in October, and then I have one in November. So it might not be quite four, but I'm trying to get as many as I can in. I mean, my manager is juggling everything that he can as quick as he can. I still wrestle. I mean, some people are going to hate me for that, but I love wrestling, and that's just my way to get out of town for a little bit and make some extra money so I can keep training and keep my gym alive. So I still do that, but, yeah, I'm training, so when the fights come, I'm ready to take them.
You know, Bobby, I remember interviewing you the first time you fought in MMA. Here in Miami, Florida, you forgot the guy's name you fought, but you definitely destroyed him. And I remember going to the back right after the fight, white tap-out shirt, blood all over, and I asked you. Because at the time, Brock Lesnar was the biggest topic in MMA. Brock Lesnar is not in MMA anymore. He returned back to pro wrestling. But if you had the chance or if he does come to MMA, would you like to trade gloves? And I quote you from that because I remember the word. Would you like to trade gloves one time with Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think right now, for me, the fights that make sense are the fights that I'd like to do. And I think that would be a pretty good fight. I think that would be a pretty big fight. I know Brock will be the heavy favorite because he has the UFC title under his belt. But, you know, I think it's a good fight. I think it's a great fight for the fans. At least for the wrestling fans will love to see it. So, yeah, if I had the opportunity, I would definitely do it, without a doubt.
Now, there's another heavyweight guy out there that's a professional wrestler, and I'm talking about Dave Bautista. Any interest in him?
I don't know if Dave's still fighting. I know that he's doing movies and he's really active with that. I got asked that several times, and like I said with Brock, it's like I wouldn't try to drum a fight with either one of these guys just to, you know, just start some trash or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dave is right now concentrating on fighting. I think he's 1-0 right now still. He's doing some movies. So for me fighting him at 10-2 and he's 1-0, I don't think it's a fight that we could actually put together. If he wanted to do it, of course, I would definitely do it. But I don't know if the commission is going to allow it, and I don't know if he's even training for fights right now.
Now, you said that some organizations are possibly going to book you any information as far as where you'll be fighting, or that's still in discussion?
Well, there's a couple that I spoke to before, and I just want to make sure those lines are still open. The one that I fight for, because it's just kind of closer, and I have a good rapport with the guy, and I think he's got a great organization. He's on Access TV. Is Titan. I like Titan. He gives me an opportunity to fight as much as possible, and I think they landed a pretty big deal for his organization, so I think he's going to have fights more often. So I'd love to fight for him in August. I think that's what we're kind of planning for. So if he gets everything together, then, of course, I'll fight for him in August. October, I got offered something in Finland. And then November, I think somewhere in Seattle, there's a place in Legacy. I talked to Legacy also. We talked to Bellator a while back. I don't know if that's going to be something that we can rehash. I know we kind of worked with Bellator off and on for the entire year, and nothing's really came through. So I don't know if we can really rehash that. But if we did, you know, that's always an option. And then there's a few organizations overseas that kind of wanted something. So I'm just open. Like I said, I want to get fights. It's not so much finding the right people. It's more of getting the ring time for me. So I'm going to hopefully fight, like I said, four times the rest of the year.
Now, you fought over in India, the Super Fight League. How was that experience out there?
The league was great. The show was great. I just didn't think it was a garbage fight. I mean, it was a bad fight for me, but I think it was even worse the way that it ended. I mean, beat the guy up for three rounds and broke his orbital bone, busted him up really bad, and ended up losing the fight. So that kind of put a sour taste in my mouth for the league. But, I mean, we talked with those guys again. They took a little break. They said they were going to start back up in August. If they start back up, I'll definitely run back out there and fight for them, because I guess they got rid of the bad seed that was causing all the complications with their organization in the first place. So I would love to go out back out there and fight.
Gotcha, Guillermo.
Yeah, Bobby. You know, you're still 36 years old. You got a 10-2 record. We've seen older guys make their UFC debut. We've seen guys with worse records get their UFC debut. Why aren't you in the UFC, you think?
I guess I haven't given them what they wanted yet. I know there was an offer that was kind of thrown on the table last year, but that was kind of in the time where I was kind of iffy as far as what I was doing, because, you know, my home life got kind of shifted around a little bit, which I didn't want to bring to the table and say, oh, you know, I'm dealing with stuff in my house. So I just kind of kept that to myself and told everybody, you know, I'll get back to fighting when I can. So hopefully, you know, with these next few months or whatever, I get the right opponent that maybe raise an eyebrow or prove myself to them. You know, maybe at the 12-2 or 14-2 or even 16-2 record, they'll open up that door and give me an opportunity to go out there and bang with some of the big boys.
Yeah, do you believe it's the quality of competition that you've beaten is the reason that they haven't given you an opportunity? They want you to see guys with even better records? That if you beat them, do you think that's the reason why they haven't taken you yet?
I don't think so, because really, outside of the UFC, there's not too many unsigned guys that have that thing that they're looking for. I mean, we've searched opponents all the way across the board, and there's some guys that have been cut from the UFC, but then they get picked up by Bellator. There's some guys that are just kind of journeymen that it's one minute you think you're the greatest fighter in the world, the next minute you'll lose to somebody that can't even tie a shoestring. So I don't know what it is. We're just gonna pick the right fights, and hopefully it's good enough for them.
Yeah, has Bellator come up to you and offered you anything or no?
Yeah, we discussed things with Bellator before, and I'll be right honest. But the thing that I really want to do with Bellator is if Bellator was the case, if we worked in the Bellator, I'm still a wrestler. I mean, they have a lot of fighters that they're trying to put into wrestling, which is going to be extremely hard to do because of how the wrestling business is. But if I do Bellator, it'd definitely be a double deal. I wouldn't do it by itself.
Yeah, now, Bobby, you know, I was reading over, you know, your biography there, and, you know, I was reading about how you had hopes to make the Olympic Games, and then there was, like, a bank robbery, and you injured your knee. Can you explain what happened there?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a crazy little story. We had the World Team Trials, and after the World Team Trials, I did pretty good in World Team Trials. I missed the finals by like a criteria point, so I ended up coming back and taking third. So I had a good World Team Trials. And then after that, I was just kind of lingering around over the summer, just taking a little break off before we ramped back up for the next year. And I ended up going into my bank to make a deposit. Guy ended up kicking the door down, or kicking the door open and shooting straight forward. And I happened to be, like, right in his direct line of fire, about 5 feet away from him. And when, I don't know, maybe divine intervention or what it was, but something had me kind of look backwards and turn down a little bit. So the shot went right over my shoulder, and I ended up taking a dive down to the ground. And when I took a dive down to the ground, I mean, it was just concrete with, like, that industrial carpet over it. So when I hit the ground, it busted my knee open. And after that, I had to go through two different surgeries to get the thing back. And it kind of just ended my year because the Olympic trials, I think, were in 6 months. And I just went to my second surgery, and they said I'd be rehabbing for at least 8 months. So,
that's a crazy story. That's a really crazy story.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing...
Yeah, there's a lot
what
more
you
details
doing?
To it.
Oh, you want to continue with it? Go ahead.
No. There's a lot more details to it, but I just have it like the shortened version.
Yeah, there you go. Now, well, what are you doing these days to supplement your income apart from what you make in MMA?
I still do pro wrestling. I do some pro wrestling matches from here to there. Like the last month, I mean, I fought twice, but I had three pro wrestling matches at the same time. I try to keep those a little hush-hush, but those are good. And then I own a gym also, but my gym is more of an expense for me because I do a lot with nonprofit. I work to get kids off the streets and get them into the gym so they at least learning some form of martial arts. I mean, the community where I opened up my gym, it's right down the street from where they had the big theater shooting in Denver. So a lot of those kids, they don't have anything to do around that area. So my gym, I mean, the gym's about 20,000 square feet, and we have everything in there, from strength training to Zumba to jiu-jitsu to boxing. We have everything. So I just spend a lot of time just working at the gym and trying to do something good for the community.
And, Bobby, have you picked out a certain age that you'll give MMA a chance to and then you'll give up on MMA?
Maybe when I hit 36. I have no idea, man. They always say it depends on your body. And right now, man, I'm in great shape. I mean, I feel like I'm still in my 20s. I'm able to wrestle and I'm able to fight. I'm able to do everything without being too sore the next day. And I mean, that's all it is health. If I get to the point where I feel like my body's taking too much of an abuse, then I might lay back a little bit or kick back a little bit. But right now, man, I think I can go. So I'm looking at at least 3 more years, at least, going hard, maybe more, depending on how everything kind of fits together.
Yeah, and Bobby, are you planning on ever going back to pro wrestling full-time or no?
I'm open, man. I love pro wrestling. I love wrestling. I love fighting. So whoever opens up the door for me, that's who I'm going to run to. Right now, it's kind of that case where you said, am I supplementing my income? Yes, I am, by doing both. So if it's pro wrestling, or if pro wrestling comes to me, one of the organizations says, hey, look, we want to stop you from doing everything, and you're going to go with us full-time, and they make the right offer, then I'll go that route. But if it's fighting, and fighting comes through, and somebody comes through like a Bellator, your UFC or a bigger company, it says, hey, we want you to focus completely on fighting, so everything else is shut down. If they make the right offer, then I'll do that. So I'm completely open. Right now, at the end of the day, it's feeding my kids, man. So my body is a tool right now for feeding my kids. So whatever I need to do is what I'm going to do.
Hey, Bobby, and I got to ask you, what are your thoughts right now on wrestling? You know, first and foremost, TNA. TNA, they just got Rampage, you got Kimo because of the whole trade of Bellator and TNA. What are your thoughts of MMA stars going into pro wrestling and pro wrestlers going into MMA right now? Do you think we're going to see more of this? And do you think there's any benefits for both sports? And what are the benefits?
Yeah. I like what they're doing. I like what Dixie's trying to do with bringing them over. The only problem is that the pro wrestling community, I don't think they're going to take to fighters coming over so much, only because it's hard. To be able to go out there and perform and wrestle in front of a crowd, like you can really, really, really do harm to the business and do harm to yourself if you don't know what's going on, if you don't really know and have the right training. But, I mean, if they take those guys, I mean, Rampage has a great personality and so does Team Mo. So if they take those guys and give them the proper training and they're ready before going in there instead of just forcing them in the ring too early and trying to put them with somebody that can actually carry the match, I think they'll be all right. I don't think there's going to be so many pro wrestlers that switch over. It's just, you know, if they're in pro wrestling and they're doing well, then there's really no reason for them to go over. I know some of the guys have been training a lot. I heard MVP, he's been training a lot down in Houston and everything like that. He's been doing a lot of jiu-jitsu. He's been working on striking and everything like that. Whether or not he chooses to go over there, it may not make sense to him. So I really don't see too much of a crossover. I think the crossover from fighters to pro wrestling, I can see more people coming over. It just really depends on how those two guys that are over there do and how the crowd actually takes to them. It's not hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. I think it's easier for a pro wrestler to switch over to MMA than an MMA fighter to switch over to pro wrestling.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you on that one. You know, you got to develop your character and so forth. You know, MMA, you're a fighter. In pro wrestling, there's so much more than just learning the skills. No doubt about that. Now, looking at the WWE or TNA, anyone particular that you'd love to wrestle in that, or any particular talent that just strikes your eye and says, gosh, you know, I'd like to have a match against that guy?
Yeah, man, there's one that I've said a million different times. The person that got me into it, I watched wrestling growing up and everything, and I wrestled amateur growing up, of course. And the one person that I always looked up to was Kurt. I mean, Kurt Angle's the one that got me into pro wrestling. And then when he got me into pro wrestling, he got me into WWE, and I started working in the WWE, and then soon after I got in there, he left and went to TNA. And then a little bit after that, I got out of WWE, and I went to TNA, and then I left TNA. So there's always been kind of that miscue of us actually having an actual match. I've tagged with him before, but I haven't had to match with him, and I think that's one person that I would really consider, you know, doing anything to get back and wrestle with. And then another person on the WWE side, there's a couple guys that I think are really good, and I think it would be really cool to run a program with. I think Brock, I mean, you know, talk about Brock and fighting, but I think the pro wrestling fans would probably go crazy if they saw me and Brock, like, face-to-face in the middle of a wrestling ring. Me and Brock have never crossed paths. I never met the guy, never been next to him or anything like that. So, and same with the wrestling fans have never seen it. So, I mean, if it came to a case where me and Brock end up in a wrestling ring together, just face-to-face there for a couple seconds, I think the crowd would go crazy, and I think we'd have a great match. It's Kurt, Brock, and, of course, the top guys, of course, you'd want to try to do something with. I think the guy Sheamus over there is doing really well at WWE. And I like Del Rio and a couple other guys over there, but you know, there's so many different guys that you can have a good match with. So those are probably my top picks.
Well, WrestleMania will be in New Orleans, and they want to make it big as WrestleMania 30. You never know, right, Bobby?
Yeah, you never know. I always say in wrestling business, never say never. So
now
it is what it is.
Those two guys you mentioned, Kurt and Brock. Now, we've heard stories that these guys didn't get along too much in the locker room, and they allegedly had an actual wrestling match, and Kurt Angle defeated Brock Lesnar. Did you ever hear a story about that in the locker room?
I
what's
heard
the story? Let us
in
the scoop,
because
I'm dying. I'm dying to know that, Bobby.
I couldn't tell you. I wasn't there at the time. You know, and the people that did say it are the people that really don't even know really what a takedown is. So there could have been like a big scramble where Kurt could have got an advantage and everybody's like, oh, crazy or anything like that. I have no idea. If they wrestle each other, I don't know. Those two in their prime, I think it would be a hell of a match. I mean, Kurt was a beast when he was wrestling, and Brock was just destroying people. So if they went at it, that would be a great match. Right now, you can't do it right now. I mean, there's a notable size difference, and I don't think you can do it now, but I don't know. I don't know who would want it back then. I think Kurt could have slicked him and got something on him, but who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to tell, no doubt about that. You know, Kurt always has said that if, you know, his age were a little younger, he would have gone into MMA. So maybe if Kurt would have gained some more weight, and maybe we could have seen you and him or Brock and him in a cage instead of in a pro wrestling match. But what are your thoughts on the big guys now in WWE, like the Rybacks? You know, because we see more now. We're seeing now in the WWE the guys with the beards. Everyone has a beard now. But the big dudes, they're just not coming out anymore. What's going on? What are your thoughts on that, Bobby?
With the big, I think you need it, man. And wrestling, to me, wrestling's always been that deal where I always looked at wrestlers as larger than life. You had the Hogans, you had the Andre the Giants. It's perfect. You had all these guys that were wrestling, and if you would happen to see them like walk going through the airport or something like that, I would have lost it as a kid. And they still have that stigma of being these gladiators, these big just monsters, and I think it's pulling away from that a little bit. So some of the guys don't have that image. And you need to have both, but I think some of the guys that are the bigger guys in there are needed for the business, so they just keep the validity of it up. In MMA, I don't even know if that's even the case right now.
No, absolutely not. But the Rybacks, you know, he's a big dude. Some of them compared to a mixture of Rob Van Dam because of the attire and then Goldberg. You think he has a big impact coming into the WWE? I mean, if you look at it realistically, he's pretty much the biggest guy there, aside from probably Sheamus, is making a big major hit in WWE.
Yeah, I don't know how much they're pushing him anymore. I've seen some losses on his record, and when you have somebody like that, I mean, Goldberg is Goldberg because he was smashing people. If Goldberg was going out there losing to people, then he'd just be a regular Joe. And I think that's the direction that they don't want to go, because if they did, they would bring in the necessary people to do so. I mean, when you have Brock come in, Brock doesn't even have an opportunity to wrestle some of those guys, just because if you put Brock in the ring with some of those guys, it would be a no-brainer match. Like, people would be like, all right, Brock hit him with your F5, and let's go home.
That's right. Well, I got a question here from one of our followers. Bobby, what's your exercise routine? This is from Dennis Mooney. What's your exercise routine, and what are the supplements you take to stay in shape, man?
Well, for me, my exercise routine is, it's hard because I go back and forth. When I have a wrestling deal, I kind of get in there and do a little bit more straight training for like a week or so. But typically when I'm getting ready for a fight, I kind of lay off the actual lifting, and I'm doing a lot more aerodyne work, row machine. I don't want to say CrossFit stuff because I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. I mean, CrossFit is what it is, but I don't think it's the best thing for fighting. If you get CrossFit style workout, that's a little bit different. So I do more circuit training style workout where I try to mimic an actual match, try to do stuff where I'm hitting it hard for a minute or two, and then allowing a minute to let the elastic acid build back up and then going back at it, which is just basically increasing my elastic threshold. With the muscle mass that I have, you know, you can get tired out really quick if you don't have that threshold up. So that's what I do with my lifting now. So it's more high energy, more pushing myself, resting and pushing myself again.
Hey, Bob, were you working on some supplements, a line supplement, or were you promoting some supplements?
Nope. That's one thing that I kind of dropped the ball on, or some of the companies dropped the ball on. I do take a couple supplements that I actually like, but for me, I go more in like whole foods kind of deal versus supplementation. I haven't really been taking any supplements lately, just because they haven't really reacted really well with my body. I do like a natural protein that I actually take for my meals, and outside of that, I just try to keep my calorie intake up. I do like a whole fruit, a super fruit shot in the mornings, and just like meal replacements throughout the day, and then I do a little bit of extra lactamase carb protein carbs just to keep my blood sugar regulated and keep my body recovered.
Oh, interesting to know, man. Interesting to know, Bob, because you know you like big physique you got. You know, I just met two weeks ago, Ronnie Coleman, and, you know, the guy is gigantic, and I was asking, like, let me ask Bobby, I got to ask him as far as some of the supplements he takes, because you're in just easy shape, man.
Yeah, I'm nowhere at the level of Ronnie Coleman. tell you that much. I've always,
and the guy still got it.
I've always had a physique. I've always had a physique, and it's kind of hard dealing with it because when people see me, like the guys who see me just around the gym when I'm working out and everything like that, they're like, oh, man, you lost some weight. You look a little leaner. And then next you know it, I get on TV and I look like I'm like 300 pounds again. Like I've never been that heavy. I've always just had that TV appearance that made me look that way because I stay so lean and I stay harder. So I always look like I weigh more than I actually do.
It's all in the jeans, Bobby.
I guess. I mean, it is because my sister never worked out before, never really worked out before. And then she was going to do like a fitness competition. So she called me up and said, hey, I'm going to do a fitness competition. Do you have any advice? I was like, yeah, come down and work out. She came down and worked out with me for a week. I was like, damn, my sister's kind of there. She's already kind of ready. So she trained for 2 months for her contest. And she went out there, won her contest in her weight class, and won best overall. She did not even drink a pre-workout shake. She didn't even have a protein shake. She had nothing that she was dealing with but just regular foods and working out.
Wow, that's awesome. That's just awesome. But, again, it's in the genes. You know, I unfortunately can't. Guillermo can't. But, hey, you're blessed with it, and that's awesome that you're using it to where you, how you're using it as a fighter and as a professional wrestler. Bobby, I want to thank you so much for coming on here, and I hope to have you here soon again. And maybe next time we'll be talking about the UFC or maybe Bellator or maybe possibly getting back to the WWE or TNA. But always a pleasure to speak to you, Bobby.
What was the last part?
I said always a pleasure to speak to you. And anything else you'd like to add or like to give thanks to?
No, man. I just give thanks to my people over at ATT, HT Altitude. And then if anybody wants to get in contact with me, I'm at Fight Bobby on Twitter. And I usually respond to people and let people know what's going on. But, I mean, I'm a simple person right now with a lot of big goals, and I work my ass off. Like right now, I'm getting ready to go in for my second workout of the day, just getting ready for anything that's going to be available. So any companies that want to have me fight for them, I'm open. Anyone that needs me, that's where you can reach me.
Awesome. And any wrestling bookings you got coming up that people can know about?
Yeah. Well, I leave Tuesday for Japan. I always go out to Japan and wrestle with IGS. So I'm going out there to work with IGF, but then I get an opportunity to train with, like, Jerome LeBanner, Peter Arz, Shogun's going to be down there. So Josh Barnett, some of these guys. Well, Josh doesn't go as much anymore. He's just fine. But I'll be leaving Tuesday, going to Japan, and then going to China. And then I come back, and I do some more stuff in Mexico, and then I go to fight. So my schedule is booked, but I'm happy, and I'm blessed, man.
That is awesome, Bobby. Thank you so very much. God bless, and good luck in your next fight, my man.
Thank you. Appreciate that, man.
Thank you, Bobby. Have a good night. Thank you so much, and have a good workout.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. There you go, folks. Bobby Lashley, a pleasure to have him here on the phone, and I spoke to him for over, I guess, more than 20 minutes, Guillermo. But
yeah, I think that might have been 30 or more. That was one of our longer interviews.
It was, man. But, you know, he's such a nice guy. And I'm telling you,
yeah, so much
I
to talk about with
forget.
Him, you know. A very interesting guy. So much to talk about. So many questions, not just about MMA, pro wrestling. You know, and I was just about to ask him that, too, about Japan. But, yeah, he's still going over to Japan and doing all that stuff as well. And we know that a lot of MMA fighters, and they go out and they wrestle in Japan as well, like Josh Barnett, like you mentioned. So pretty interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I always remember that interview I had with him. I remember it because it was actually my first assignment in MMA for the newspaper I worked for, the Miami Herald. And I remember going back in the locker room and interviewing him. I think he was a co-main event, I believe. He was a co-main event, and it was his first fight. And I was just flat out, you know, I asked him about Brock Lesnar.
Was on that card, you told me. Antonio Bigfoot Silva was on that card, you told me.
No, he was just a guest. He was a guest. I believe the main event was Jeff Munson and Rico Rodriguez. So two former UFC guys were the main event, and then the co-main event was Bobby Lashley. And he just destroyed that guy, destroyed him. And there it is. You know, Bobby Lashley has now made it back into MMA, into TNA, but always a pleasure to speak to here on the show. Let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more on The Roman Show with Stephen Bass, UFC veteran, now fighting in the XFC in September. We'll be back.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
Mikey Ruckus, the world leader in customized walkout music and theme music for MMA fighters and companies worldwide. For more information, visit soundclick.com/Mikey Ruckus.
The lights are out, you're being called to war. Your destiny is waiting right outside your door. I'ma take you to a place you've never been before. As you're rushing into battle, I will rumble the floor. See your opponent got a shook as you trample and breathe. Take a dive into the raiders, make them rise to the feet. I'ma bring the intensity as you walk to the cage. Set a bomb up inside of you, you will blow with rage. Boom! Face the room. Now there's nothing you can't achieve or push through. Now there's a fire that's burning inside of you. Now there's a tangible victory will ring true. This is my call, rising a ball. Give you the gladiator's interest in front of them all. Create a moment where time stops, the world of shocks. You rock, you fall, you turn to gold. Now you've risen to the top.
Never leave your hide behind.
Rocky Rocket,
never leave your hide behind.
Rocky Rocket,
never leave your hide behind.
Rocky Rocket.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH. or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down.
Oh, hey folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I'd like to listen to The Roman Show, tough guy. Ho!
You gotta keep them separated.
And we are back on The Roman Show. What a great, exciting interview that was with Bobby Lashley, man. Learned so much from the guy. Opened up about pro wrestling. Opened up about MMA. And even about his life. Even about his training. So good to hear from him, man. Really, really, really looking forward to it. If you missed it, don't worry about it. It'll be posted as soon as the show is over with. At RodolphRoman.com. We're also on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, on TuneIn Radio. We're everywhere. So you can't really miss us. And make sure you interact with us on our Twitter account, at The Roman Show, and on our fan page, Roman Show Media. Like it right now. You'll get a free gift. All right, Guillermo. In September, XFC travels to New Mexico. And there is a great card that's going to be happening. And one of those fighters is Stephen Bass, a former UFC fighter, who's now going to be in XFC. He's going to fight Farkhad Shiropov, I hope I pronounced that correctly. Well, Steven, thanks so much for joining us this evening. How are you, man?
Good, man. Really good. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, man. So here it is. XFC, the show will be happening in September, September 6th in Albuquerque, New Mexico, live on Access TV. How are you getting ready for this fight, man? It's been some time since you've been in action inside the cage.
Yeah, it's been about 2 years after the finale. I had a surgery about 3 months later, another hernia fix, but I'm better than 100% now, you know. And, you know, it's been about 2 years and ready to blow the jets out and have a good fight.
So you
man.
Said you had a herniated disc, you said?
Yeah, three. Yeah, actually, three. I've had three. That was my first big layoff was getting two fixed. And then I had a third one that I snuck past the UFC to get on the show. And
wow.
and now that's healed. I'm healed up, man. What is that?
Which were they?
It was an inguinal hernia, which is the one like real low at the groin, an umbilical hernia, which is like the belly button, and a epigastric linea alba hernia, which is like right in between my center abs, right?
Three hernias, so, and you snuck one by of the UFC to fight. That's just crazy, man. That just shows
man.
How much passion and love you have for it. And so here
you go.
You had a good job. Two years you took off. So you had you had the operation, took you 3 months to heal and so forth to get back on your feet. So
a few months, man. I've just been doing work. You know, I got a kid now and everything. But I've been in the gym for 2 years straight, man. I haven't taken any time off. I just haven't fought, you know.
And aside from being an MMA fighter...
I don't think this is a two-year layoff.
So aside from being an MMA fighter, you also have a full-time job. What do you do?
Not really. I wouldn't call it full-time. I work as a bartender here and there. Actually, I'm a part-time karaoke DJ. So like actually right now, when I get off the phone with you guys at 10, I'll walk into this bar I'm parked in front of right now, turn my sound equipment on, sing some karaoke, and eat. Probably eat some wings, drink a lot of water,
cool,
have a good time. Yeah, man.
That's cool, man. So during that 2 year, you said you were hitting it hard. You were hitting the gym. Now,
Why did you just the whole time? Like I've never just back. I just feel good again. Like I finally got I had a kid. I got a 3-year-old kid. Like I feel good about it again. You know, I got everything in order. My training's in order. Like I'm in a really good place right now, and. I'm, feeling good in the gym, so it's time. It's time to dust off the old MMA gloves.
Awesome. Now, tell me about your opponent. This guy has over 13 fights. He's coming in here. He's also coming off a two-loss streak. What can you tell us about your opponent? Does it make him extra hungrier, the fact that he has two losses in a row?
Man, I looked the guy. I put his name in YouTube. You know, the fights came up, and he can fight. You know, he's not a. You just lose. You win and you lose at fighting. You know, you go. You train hard. You go in there to kick a guy's ass. You don't kick his ass every time. So, I think, man, he looks like he likes to fight. So I think it's going to be a good one.
Now, looking at his record, Stephen, this guy, your opponent, had 10 decision victories. Do you plan to not be a part of that? And how are you planning on having it go your way and not taking it to a decision?
I am going to fist fight the shit out of him. I'm going to hit him, I'm going to kick him and knee him, elbow him, and wrestle him and judo him and jiu-jitsu him. And we're going to have a hellacious fight. And, you know, I think that will be my key to success is just fighting the shit out of him.
You know, there's some fighters that say that
I'm not kidding.
I believe you. I believe you, Steven.
Yeah.
Now, there's some fighters that they have a lot of decision victories on the record. And their defense is, listen, I'm not a boring fighter. I just fight smart. Do you think that's accurate?
And not even
or do you
that,
think
man.
Just,
it's not even
what
that.
Is it
like, then? If you don't have the tools to finish people, you don't have the tools to finish people. You know, just it is what it is, you know. Like, as a fighter, I can respect and appreciate anybody that can win a fight. Like, I like exciting fights. Like, I'm not a big fan of, you know, one-trick pony wrestlers, you know, that don't beat people up. But there's not a lot of that anymore. Everybody can fight, ground and pound a little bit or something. Oh, well, there's very little of it. You know, there's very few organizations that might have a 170-pound champ that is the most boring person on the planet to watch fight. But it's still a hell of a fighter, you know.
Gotcha, Guillermo.
Poor Bellator.
Yeah, Steven, what camp are you currently training at?
I'm in Savannah, Georgia, training with Masin Corbray and, you know, still a champion. And then Iron Muay Thai with Brian Robinson here in Savannah, too. So, hanging out with these guys, getting better at beating people up, you know.
Yeah, sorry, Steven. Hey, you were on the Ultimate Fighter. Did you take anything away from that experience? What'd you learn?
Yeah, man. Honestly, that trained up. Like, I can compete with anybody in the world. You know, like I went into that not doing any strength and conditioning because I didn't feel good about it. After I'd been on another 2-year layoff, tried to do it. The first set of hernias, I got about 8 inches of linear scars. You know, that's a lot of scar. You start doing stuff crazy. Pushing your body and it starts hurting a little bit. I was like, I'll just get a, you know, I won't have to do it. I just, after that, I just blew it out, like, got the last one out of the way. Honestly, like, now I can go 100% again and go, like, oh, wow, you know, going 100%. Like, it really is, honestly, the difference. Here's a good one for you. Here's a funny one for you. The difference in ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. You just got to be willing to go for it, man. Like, it really is. Like, that's what I took from it. If I can fight with anybody, like, any 145-pounder on this planet, I can go have a good fight with.
Now, when you lost to Marcus Brimage, did that mess with you mentally at all, or did it just motivate you even more?
Nah, man. I still laugh, you know. Like, as far as I'm concerned, that last round was a 10-8 round, you know, with 2 knockdowns. Come on, yeah, just go, come on, son. I just chased him around and knocked him down just down in the last round after a lackluster first and second of him just barely outpointing me. So, no, that fight don't hurt my feelings any, man.
Steven, I figured it out
in the third.
Yeah, no, Steven, it's been about 4 years since,
man.
But, yeah, by the time you fight this next fight, it'll been in about 4 years since your last victory. I mean, you must really miss that feeling. Tell us what that feeling is like to win in an MMA match and have that crowd cheering for you.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get in the house. I won. I beat Carson Renjoin to get in the Ultimate Fighter house. So that was about two years ago. No, man, it's important to win. You got to train hard and beat people. It feels much better than losing, and you get paid twice as much. Right?
You can't go wrong with that.
For your prizes, you know? Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that, Steven. Now, tell me about fighting for the XFC. They're going to New Mexico, to the west coast of the United States. They haven't been there in that territory since they started off here in Florida. But what can you tell us about the company, man?
Man, super good production, like super good show. I started following it. One of my good buddies in the gym, Shabba Bonus, just fought for him a lot and said nothing but good things about him. I started following him. I'm a terrible fight fan. You know, I don't really watch a lot of fights. Like, I'm always working on the weekends during the UFC. Just checked out a few of their shows, was really impressed. Talked to John Prisco, man, like the guy's a stand-up guy, you know, put everything right out there, said, you know, no BS, and I'm excited, man. I'm excited. We talked about it, something make good for both of us. So, yeah, man, I'm pumped to get in there and start beating people up again.
Awesome. Well, Stevie, I want to thank you, man, taking some time and speaking to us here this evening. A hardworking man. You know, he's a hard worker as a fighter and hardworking as a family man. Anything else you'd like to add that we can want to share with your fans listening tonight?
Look, be expecting a good fight. What is it? HDNet, AX, it was Access Fight.
Access TV.
Fight?
Mm-hmm. Access TV.
Yeah, Access TV. I will promise you a hell of a fight. It's going to be a fun one.
Don't miss it, guys. Make sure you watch Bass versus Arkad Shirapov. Live from Albuquerque, New Mexico, September 6th, live on Access TV. That's XFC. Steven, thanks so very much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Steven Bass, who former UFC guy. He was in Tough and lost to Marcus Brimage, and he will be making his return to the cage after a two-year layoff against Farhad Sharipova, a Bellator veteran himself. Well, Guillermo, we've had lots to talk about here this evening. Just briefly want to go through some of the news here. Mark Munoz says that if Anderson Silva doesn't take the rematch, he'll gladly step up to have a crack at Chris Weidman's title, even though Weidman defeated Munoz. Would you like to see that rematch? Do you think that Munoz deserves, of course, if Silva doesn't take the rematch, do you think he would be the guy up next?
No, not at all. It's Vitor. Vitor for sure. Vitor Belfort has earned that next opportunity. I even felt that even if Anderson would have won, that Vitor was still next in line, even though Dana White was saying, oh, Anderson destroyed Vitor, and because of that, I don't want to see that fight. But still, the man has earned it. Like, if you look at the guys he's beaten recently, just purely at his middleweight stuff, not the fight against John Jones, even though he performed admirably in that. But if you don't count that, because that's not in the weight division, if you just look purely at this weight division, middleweight, what Vitor has done lately, he's destroyed Luke Rockhold, he destroyed Michael Bisping. I mean, the guy's been very impressive. He's earned his shot. I mean, everybody else in that division has lost one recently. You know, every major contender, Munoz, Bisping, they've all lost recently. Rockhold, he's lost recently. The only one who hasn't lost recently is Ronaldo Souza, Jacare, and Costa Philippou. But I don't think they've had that one big victory yet to propel them up to the title shot. But Vitor has had two of those in a row. So I feel it was Vitor. You can't. I mean, Munoz is one win removed from a loss to the current champion. I don't think there's any way that he deserves that shot yet. He needs to get one or two big wins, and then maybe we can consider him for a shot.
Well, that's pretty much it. Wraps up for tonight's episode. Make sure that you follow us on our Twitter account at The Roman Show, like our fan page, facebook.com/Roman Show Media. Make sure that you tune in next week here on for the entertainment show. And on Wednesday, we'll be back talking some MMA. We'll take a look back on Invicta FC and any other MMA rigs of a Fightmaster who is competing in the reality show here in the program.
He fights tonight.
Yes, he does. He fights tonight, so make sure you tune in right now at 10 p.m.
12 minutes,
Tune in, Spike TV. So then we'll catch you next week. Good night, guys.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes up on that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.